Well, if you're joining us for the first time, we have been in this series, Explore God, and we're exploring some of the questions that people ask, and obviously you could see there's a wide range of answers that people have. But before we jump in this morning, I want to make sure that you know about Growth Track One Day that's happening today, directly following our time together, right around 12:30 up in our Life Center. So if you're in here today and you've never been to Growth Track, Growth Track One Day, really what it is, it's an introduction to who we are, what we believe, what we value, and how you can get involved. We provide lunch, we provide childcare. So if you've never been, we'd love for you to come today. We've made space for you. So maybe you had lunch plans and you're like, well, hey, instead of going and paying for lunch, I'll come let you pay for lunch. And also see if God has a next step for me here at Chapel Hill. So we just want you to know that's available to you. You can simply drop by guest services or just make your way up to the Life Center. You'll see a check-in area and you can join us this afternoon for Growth Track One Day. I also want to celebrate, maybe make some noise if you were at Buttered Udder with us on Friday night. Man, we had an excellent time on Friday night, this past Friday night. We did what we called a scoop on us. We partnered with Buttered Udder, ice cream and coffee shop right here in Bremen. And from 6 to 8 p.m., we invited Bremen. We said, hey, anybody come get a small ice cream on the church at Chapel Hill. And we served over 200 small ice creams to people on Friday night. And it was just full of people. People were talking and having a great time. Lots of people that were going to the daddy-daughter dance dropped by to have ice cream before they went with their daughters. And so it was a real special time. Thank you, Chapel Hill, just for showing up and loving people. And honestly, in your faithfulness and giving, it gives us opportunities to bless our community. And we see people connect to our church and see God change their lives through that. So thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, so as we're jumping in today, talking about the subject of is Christianity too narrow, I wanted to take us back in time. I think to 2017 with this viral sensation, you may remember it, The Dress. Raise your hand if you remember The Dress. Okay, see, you already see people, we're dividing the room right now. So if you're in here today and you see a white and gold dress, would you raise your hand? Okay, look around. White and gold dress, there you go. If you're in here today and you see a blue and black dress, raise your hand. Okay, look at that. Listen, this changed my life. Because when I was getting ready for this sermon and I looked up the picture again and I started reading, I found out that it was confirmed that the dress is actually black and blue. Now, it's cool because they ended up making a white and gold one and sold it for charity and raised a bunch of money. Not my wife, charity. That would have been awesome. But for other people. yeah. I thought I had more to that joke, but I don't. So I'm just going to move on. No, put the picture up real quick. Put the picture up. So when I saw that and I was looking at my computer on Thursday, I was just staring at it. And I started trying to tell myself, it's black and blue. And it took me a second to actually figure out which one would actually be black and blue. I know, it's crazy. This dress has been white and gold to me all along. And then I saw it. It became black and blue. And if you're in here and you see white and gold, just look at the white and say, no, it's blue. It's blue. And the gold is black. And maybe you'll see it too. But now I'm messed up because all I see is black. See, but when I look right here, I see white and gold. It's still messing with me. I can see both worlds. I have achieved whatever it is, maximum power. Okay, the other thing, you may remember this viral sensation, Laurel versus Yanny. Do we see, that's the magic moment the audio is supposed to
come. Laurel.
There it is.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
Okay, if you're in here and you hear Laurel, raise your hand. Okay. If you're in here and you hear Yanny, raise your hand. Okay, we got a couple. Now, there is, you can go read the research on this. There is a very small percentage of people that hear Yanny, and we saw just a couple of hands go up. Has something to do with frequencies or something like that. But here's the thing about both of those things. The dress, Laurel versus Yanny. The interesting thing is we are all looking at and we are all listening to the exact same thing. But we see and we hear two completely different things. The funny thing is when these things blew up on the internet, I think people were actually getting very heated about it. I mean, they were mad at people. It is black and blue, I'm telling you. And people got so serious about it. And the same thing is true about things like this phrase, Christianity is narrow. Christianity is narrow. Because we're hearing and seeing the exact same thing, but viewing it completely differently. So when some people hear Christianity is narrow, what they hear is Christianity is restrictive. It's suffocating. It's no fun. There's too many rules. While another group of people hear Christianity is freeing. We see and we hear the same thing. Christianity is narrow. But to me, when I hear Christianity is narrow, I rejoice. Because I understand what that really means. Whereas some people hear it and they say, I'm glad I have no part in it, nor do I want any part of it because I like being free. And so that's what we're going to look at together today for a few moments. You know, we spent some time in the Sermon on the Mount last year, Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and we looked at some things that Jesus had to say. And really what we were saying about the Sermon on the Mount was it was Jesus's official position of heaven. Everything he shared through those two chapters in Matthew was him declaring to us, here's the culture of heaven. Here's the way that things were meant to be. And we think heaven's weird, but the truth is heaven's right and we're the ones that are weird. And Jesus came to earth to reintroduce to us, this is what it looks like to love God. This is what it looks like to live the life of God that pleases God and that God desires. And also, it's the life that's full of blessing and the life that's full of joy and the life that's full of power. He taught us things like blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed means happy, joyful, full is what that word means. So blessed are the poor in spirit. But he says, because if you're poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus means in that statement is, if you think you've got it all together, if you think you have everything and you can do this on your own, actually, you're poor. But if you recognize, God, I have nothing and I need everything from you. Any wisdom, real wisdom comes from you. Any real power comes from you. Any real truth comes from you. And God, today, if you're not with me, if you're not going before me, if you're not leading me, then God, I have nothing. And he says, in the moment that you do that, all of heaven becomes yours. All the resource of heaven, all the power of heaven, all the wisdom of heaven, all the life of heaven becomes yours. So he taught us things like that. He taught us, he confronted us not just about our angry and sinful ways and actions, but he actually confronted our angry and sinful thoughts and the things that are inside of us. So he said, it's not okay that you just don't lash out and attack your brother, but if you hate him in your heart, you've done the same thing. So he told us things like that. He called us to check ourselves when we give to other people. And he said, listen, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. But yet give in secret. Because it's not about you saying, hey, look what I'm doing. And so he confronted us in ways like that. He challenged us to love our enemies and to pray for those who hate us or want to have desire harm against us. He said, when it came to our resources, he said, chill out. I clothe the flowers of the field and I feed the birds of the air. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Listen, people that don't know me, they run after all these things. They're so concerned about having all these things. He said, but if you'll just calm down and trust me, I'll make sure I give you everything that it is you need. And so toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when he describes all these ways of what it looks like to live a heavenly life, this is what Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. He says, so enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Jesus himself, without any apology says, yes, Christianity, following me, is narrow. And when the church began, it's interesting, followers of Jesus were not called Christians in the beginning. In Acts chapter 9, this is what it says. It says, meanwhile, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul and wrote most of our New Testament, but at that time he didn't know Jesus. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And he went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, somebody say the way, said if he found anyone who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So in the beginning, Christians were called the way. They belonged to the way. It's a way of believing, it's a way of living, or maybe it even came from what Jesus said in John chapter 14. Here's what he says as he has a conversation with his disciples in John 14, starting in verse 1. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, or believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back, and I'll take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas speaks up and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how in the world can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So Thomas is thinking on a completely, he's like, wait, I don't, what road do we take? Were we supposed to take a left? Can you Google it for me? Put it in my maps? And Jesus says, no. I'm the way. You follow me. You look to me. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the first thing I want to look at today is this, that the way is narrow, but it is the only way. The way is narrow, but it is the only way. And really, this is the first hurdle that everyone has to cross. When people talk about Christianity being too narrow, they're not usually speaking first and foremost about the life of a Christian. And we heard that a lot in the video today. They're the first place they usually go is not in what it looks like to be a Christian. But they first take issue with how we say you enter that life, how you come to know God, and that the only way to really know God is through Jesus. And what we actually read with Thomas and Jesus' interaction with the disciples, he even goes on to tell them, and Thomas is like, show us the Father. And he says, what are you talking about? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am God, is what he's telling them. And so people typically, the first place they take issue is us saying, well, you believe in God, but you don't know the true God of the Bible if you don't know Jesus. And if you reject Jesus, you reject God, because God has set a path, a way to know him, and it's narrow, and it's through a man named Jesus. The interesting thing about it is, you know, Jesus actually calls himself a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, is what he says. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says that Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Here's what John Piper says. He says, if you believe on this stone, you can't lose. And if you disbelieve on him, you can't win. And so we recognize there's this hurdle of coming to God, and it's through Jesus. And Jesus was very clear. It wasn't the first time Paul is writing that in 1 Corinthians, but Jesus called himself this stone of stumbling. And what Paul says is that Jews want all these signs and Greek want all these wisdom. And he's saying, but listen, what I'm telling you is Jesus. And Jesus is miraculous and powerful. And Jesus is wisdom. And that some people Because they want all these other things and they're not willing to come to him, they're going to stumble and they're going to find offense. And the truth is that Jesus will either offend you or he'll save you. And for some people, he'll offend you before he saves you. Jesus will either offend you or save you. We didn't invent the way to God. And that's the thing. If it offends someone that the way to God is narrow and that it's through Jesus alone, then they're not taking offense at some man-made system and some man-created way of doing things. What they're doing is they're taking offense to the way the God of heaven has chosen to reveal himself and say, if you're going to come to me, you're going to come this way. And if you hate my son, you hate me. And if you're not willing to come to him, you can't come to me. I want you to come to me. See, here's the thing. The way to God is broad in the sense he's saying, everyone can come. Everyone, I have opened my arms wide. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you are handicapped. It doesn't matter in anything. Every single person can come to me. My arms are open wide, but if you're gonna come to me, it's going to be through this door. And the bad thing is that people that want to walk the broad way think they get to choose what the end of the path looks like. But God said, no, if you walk that way, here's the end of the path. But I've opened a path for you that I'd love for you to come through. But if you're going to come to me, you're going to come this way. And that offends some people, but it also saves us. And we'll continue to preach Christ crucified. And the truth is that some will stumble, some will find it foolish. Well, you guys are just foolish to think that way. You've got a corner on truth. You've cornered the market on truth. You're fools. Well, scripture tells me that some people are going to think that way. Yeah. I think I'm foolish if I treat you poorly because of it. But if I take the posture of Jesus and I hold this truth and this understanding and I extend it in love, but people will call it foolish, but our hopes are as well that people will see that it is the way to God, that it is life, and that they'll choose that way. Here's the second thing I want to talk about. The way is narrow, but it's not too narrow. The way is narrow, but it's not too narrow. See, the word too implies that Christianity's narrowness is bad. You know, how many of you go, oh, that's too hot. It's too hot. Any of you ever eaten pizza when it was too hot? It ruins everything. It's like one of the worst things on the planet to do. You got nice pizza in front of you, first bite, scalds your mouth, you might as well just fast. It's too hot. I mean, am I right? You can't taste it the rest of the time, and it's just painful. Man, it's the worst thing ever. So be careful at lunch today. Or you might say, that's too cold. Or we say, oh, that's too high, or that's too far. To call Christianity too narrow is to say that the cost of walking the narrow way is not worth the reward. If I say it's too narrow, I'm implying that the cost of the narrow way is not worth the reward. And there are many that have felt this way. You know, in the Bible, there's two people, and I've talked about them before, that when you put them side by side, one is a man that approached Jesus, and one is a story that Jesus tells about a man. The one that approaches Jesus, we come to know in the Bible, is the rich young ruler. He was a young man. He had a lot of influence and a lot of possessions, and he comes to Jesus all excited, and he says, teacher, good teacher, tell me what I must do to enter into heaven. And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. And he lists a couple off. And the guy says, yeah, I've done all that. Liar. You know, I've done all that. And Jesus says, okay, great. I think Jesus knew. Okay, he's just going to say, well, yeah, I've done all that. Okay, what's next? And so he does the easy question first. And he says, okay, cool. So here's the next thing you need to do. Go sell everything you own and come and follow me. And we've talked about it before. It's very interesting because Jesus didn't give that option to anyone else. A lot of people that Jesus healed and Jesus helped, he said, now go back, go live, go tell. Or some people, he was like, hey, don't talk about me yet. It's not time to talk about me. But to this man, he says, I'm giving you the option to come and follow me the same way he invited the disciples. He says, all you got to do, go sell everything you have and come and follow me. And it says that the man went away sad because he put into the scale everything that I have, everything I've worked for, and Jesus. And what he finds in his mind, which he was seeing it incorrectly, was that his possessions and what he had achieved and what he wanted to do and how he wanted to live outweighed following this Jewish man. And so he thought he had a clear understanding of Jesus, but it turns out that he didn't. Because Jesus didn't he tells a parable. He really tells two of them. But one of them says that a man was in a field and he found a treasure hidden in a field. And it says that he went home and gladly sold everything that he had, and he came and he bought the field because he understood the treasure that was hidden within the field. And so he was willing to say, hey, everything that I have, everything that I've planned, everything, I'm ready to throw it out the door because I found something greater. And that's when you put them side by side and you find the difference between walking away sad and walking away glad is your willingness to sell it all and trust that Jesus is enough. And that's my hope today, that some of you in here, that maybe when you put it in the balance, that right now to you, and the way that I want to live, the way that I want to walk, the way that I want to think, what I want to do, way outweighs following Jesus this way. But my hope is that you'll see, no, sell all of that, because it cannot even come close to touching what it means to follow Jesus and what he offers. The only way to make Christianity too narrow or too broad is to mix or to mingle too much of us into it. That's what it says. The only way to make Christianity too narrow or too broad is to mingle too much of man into it. And that's what we actually find with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious teachers of the day. And what happens is they began to take the things that God was teaching and adding on to it. And they begin requesting and demanding things of people. If they're going to say, well, you're going to follow God, well, here's what you're going to do. But it really wasn't what God was saying. They just began adding things on. And, well, we think this is good. Well, we think that's right. And probably some of it came out of selfish desires for things that they wanted from people, or the way they wanted to be viewed, or how. And Jesus actually says that they lorded over people. And so they begin to get too narrow because they begin requesting and putting things on people that God never asked of them. And what that does is it puts this weight on people. And what's meant to bring them into greater joy turns into lesser joy. What's meant to be greater life turns into lesser life. What's meant to be greater freedom turns into lesser freedom because we've mingled too much of us into it. But then on the other side, Christianity gets too broad, which this makes me think of the prodigal son. He thought for him, freedom was on the other side of dad's fences. He's the one in the Bible, if you remember, that said, Dad, listen, I want all my inheritance now as if you were dead, and I want to go off and do my own thing. And so he felt like living under dad's household is too restrictive right now. And so really, if I'm going to live, I need to get on the other side of his fences. I need to get out from under his care. And what happens to him is he begins to live in a way that he wasn't meant to bear either. So we're not to have all of these things put on us that God never intended, but if we begin to take off all the things from us that God did intend, we can't handle that either. And what happens is he runs off and he spends all his money on wild living and he does whatever he pleases, and then he finds himself feeding pigs and he's like, my goodness, if I could just go work for my dad. All of a sudden he has this realization, my dad's fences were for my good. I need to get back to dad's house. Yeah, maybe some of the things are different than I wanted, but now I see dad's house was for my good. Dad's fences were for my good. And when we do that, when we begin to take off anything, we never confront one another. We're never willing to say, hey, man, that's not God's best for you. We're not willing to call out sin at times for what it is. Then we begin to give people this license to live in a way that they can't handle. And it will end in destruction for them And it may turn them away from Jesus the same way as if we demand things from them that God never intended. And so we look to what Jesus says and we follow that way. Here's the last thing I want to talk about. The way is narrow, but it is life. The way is narrow, but it is life. And the verse we opened with, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. I thought it was interesting because Jesus just plainly says, if you want to live your own way, that's easy. He says, if you want to follow me, it's going to be hard. But let me show it to you this way. The way, the broad way being easy is in the same sense that it's easy for me to eat whatever I want to eat. Lift your hand if you've ever been to a place like Fogo de Chao. Anybody ever been to Fogo de Chao, Brazilian steakhouse? You flip over the card and they bring out speared animals to you and they cut it right off onto your plate and it just never stops coming. We used to do a Christmas party at Fogo de Chao, and I remember every year leading up to it, everybody began talking. They're like, yeah, I'm going to like not eat for 2 days so then I can eat everything there. Or some people are like, no, that's not the way to go. You need to drink a lot of water and stretch your stomach, and then you can actually be prepared to eat tons. Some people are like, yeah, I'm going to get the meat sweats, you know, and that's how people act. I know, everybody's like, sorry. It's just the little youth pastor in me comes out sometimes, you know. Which we do have our students. Meat sweats, yeah. Okay. I'm not cool anymore, though. Great. I don't even know where I belong now. But it's funny because that's how they would act. And I kind of followed suit the first few times. I'm like, these guys know what they're doing. And it was easy. Yeah, yeah, bring me. I never turned my card over. Yeah, just keep stacking it. I'll get to it when I get to it, I promise. And I enjoyed myself. But I felt miserable later. And so it was easy. It's easy to say, yes, yes, I'll take more. Give me more, give me more, give me more. I'll eat whatever I want. But what we find is down the road, that's some point we go, oh, wait, I probably need to pay a little more attention. Usually that happens in January. I want to encourage you, keep going. We're in February now. But the same is true in our lives. It's easy to say yes a lot of times to what we feel and what we want to do. It's difficult to say, no, I'm okay. You know, being able to say no takes foresight. When you understand what it is that God desires for you in the future, and you're saying, I want that thing, then it enables you in the present to say no. And sin is very deceptive because in the same sense of eating whatever you want, that's fine. You know, when you begin to just take part in whatever you want in life, act however you want, treat people however you want, think however you want, then it might feel good in the now. But the end of it is not good and it steals your life. But when we begin to say, no, we're earning something for us later. And the later thing is a life full of peace, a life full of joy, a life full of God's blessing on us. That's why Scripture tells us to take up our cross daily. Listen, it is hard when somebody is treating you like trash to take the humble seat. And to look past the person and how they're acting and realize through the eyes of Jesus there's something going on in that person's life that's causing them to act that way. That is difficult. You know what's easy? Hey, you don't get to talk to me like that. It's easy to come back at people and treat them the way that they've treated you. And in the same sense that Jesus says, the narrow way is hard, it's in the same sense that not spending all of my money on everything that I want to spend it on is hard. But we know that if we don't set limitations for ourselves, we end up in bad places. And so we take up our cross daily. Romans says that we're a living sacrifice. Jesus says, put to death your sinful nature so that you can live. Every day I'm glad to say, Galatians 2:20, that I am crucified with Christ and Matthew no longer lives. Matthew, today, you don't get to make all your decisions because guess what? Your decisions are bad. Matthew, today, you don't get to think however you want. When you begin to think this way and yet I speak to you and say, no, you need to think this way, I'm going to say, God, you're right because your ways are better than mine. Your ways are higher than mine. Your ways lead to life. I don't get to go wherever you want to go today, Matthew. And I am okay with that because I am crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live today, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. And here's the thing we have to see. The heart of the Christian sees narrow differently. Remember, there's two ways to see everything. When God says no to me, you know what I see? Yes. Because every no from God is for a better yes. You know, when I see boundaries from God, you can go here and you won't go past that, Matthew. You know what I see? When I hit the boundary or I see the boundary, and yet we tend to want to look past the boundary to what we want out there, but I see the boundary, I turn around and I realize, oh my goodness, look at the vast landscape of freedom that God has given me. So when I see boundary, I see blessing. I don't just see restriction from God, because I understand that anything God restricts me from is because he's trying to open up something for my good. And my hope in here today is that if you're in here and you've thought that Christianity is just too narrow, you can't have any fun as a Christian, I beg to differ. You know why? My life isn't perfect, and I don't do everything right all the time, but my marriage is full of blessing and joy, and my house is full of laughter and peace. And my friendships are uplifting and encouraging. I had friendships in the past when I wasn't following the Lord's way, when I was on the broad path. And yeah, we had a lot of fun together, but it was temporal and it didn't do anything good for me. But the friends I have around me now, we build each other up, and we encourage each other, and we push each other toward the life that God has for us. And it also requires looking past now. We are earning something for ourselves, church, because this is going to pass away one day. And what we spent doing here and now matters. And so I'll gladly walk the narrow way. And my narrow way is so broad and so free. And my hope is that today, if you viewed it as restricting, that you would see that God's saying, no, my restriction is for your freedom. My fences are for your freedom. My boundaries for your blessing. My no is for a better yes. And maybe you're in here today and you've been following Jesus for some time and you found yourself frustrated sometimes, just wishing I could do it my way, I could think my way. May I remind you today that God's restrictions are for your good. Would you pray with me today? If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus and you're saying, I feel God stirring something inside of me. I feel God doing something in me today. And I know he wants me to walk a different way. And I see today that narrow way I thought was so restricting, that narrow way that I thought God was trying to keep things from me, that God didn't want me to have any fun, that you would see today, no, it wasn't that. It's that God is trying to point you in another way, that God's saying, I've opened up a way of freedom for you. Jesus lived the life that you should have lived, and he died the death that you should have died in your place. And on the third day, he rose again. And today, he's offering life, salvation, freedom from your sin, and a life in his ways. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here today and you're saying, that's me, I want that. Would you pray with me today? Would you lift your hand just so I know who I'm praying with? Yes, amen. Anyone else just saying, that's me today. I want to follow Jesus today. I want to stop going my way. Trust that his ways are better. Listen, I can't pray for you, but you could pray something like this. Jesus, I love you. I see that everything that you, every no you have for me is a yes. That you're not trying to keep things from me. You're trying to get good things to me. Today, I'm saying, I want to lay down my ways. I want to lay down my life. And I want to follow you. Forgive me today of my sin, of walking in my own way. And help me walk in freedom today. And God, I pray for our church. That we're a church that's not trying to stay so close to the edge, but we'd realize you've opened up so much good for us. So instead of trying to push the boundaries, God, I pray we press into the blessing, press into the open space that you have for us. Let us be people that as we follow the ways of Jesus, we're so vibrant, we're so alive because we're walking in your blessings. We're walking in your yeses. We're walking in your good things. So God, today, help us walk the narrow path because we know that the end of it for us is life. In Jesus' name, amen.